This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Today is April 13th. What a terrible weekend in Cincinnati. The Bucks get swept. Frustrating is starting to build up. We're going to talk all about it. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast.
I'm bummed out. Yeah.
Yins guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. His name is Jake. What's up, Jake?
Not enough. Not our win column.
So Jake, on Friday, you had said that 5-8, it's really not that bad. Where are you at now?
Well, doubled that gap pretty much, you know. now you're, listen, I said I was going to say this earlier and I'm going to go ahead and say it. At least we have more wins than the Braves.
Oh, that doesn't matter. They're not in our division.
Told my buddy I was going to say that, and then I told him I'm going to have to come to his house after Ashley, if she hears that on the podcast. But seriously, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, looking at it, and I'm like, I'm not even worried about the Braves. Like, they're 4-10 or whatever it is, and it's like, okay, but they'll bounce back. I don't see that here. Is it possible? Yes. Are they showing signs of it? Not any. I don't know. It's frustrating. I tend to try, not say pass blame, right? Because I mean, ultimately the players are to blame. They're the ones that are not executing. They're not getting the hits with runners in scoring position. Shoot, they're not even putting the runners in scoring position to be able to do that well. But this is the part of Major League Baseball. All these players, now granted there's a couple in there, throw in there, that it's mainly because of injury, but these players don't just get to be put on Major League rosters just because this guy can be on a Major League roster. No, they earn their way there. They're good ball players. They're not great. I get it. We have one that's like teetering on the line of a great player, and Brian Reynolds, who's very struggling right now. Andrew McCutchen was a great player, still has, my opinion, has a good bit left in the tank, you know, at least from that DH spot and spot, you know, play right field here and there. But this is what a major league manager, this is your job. This is what you're supposed to put an end to. These big downfalls of a team is on the manager. It's on his coaching staff. It's on the hitting coach. It's on the bullpen coach. It's on the pitching coach. It's the whole coaching staff, which the pitchers haven't been doing terrible, but it's the only thing that's got us probably the 5 wins. But when you show up and you're the worst offense in baseball now, you're not executing, and your coach is just, we just need to figure it out. Yeah, you do. Do your job.
I'm just letting you cook, man.
I know.
I think it's all the way around. I understand saying that, you know, the starting pitching is not that bad. I still have a problem with walks. And this series was no different. Six walks in the first game, two wild pitches. Three of those walks of the six, three of them scored, one of them on a wild pitch. In the second game, three walks, three hit by pitches. That's another six errors. Free guys. They just get to be on base for free. Two of them scored on the LA Grand Slam. Hit by pitches. Two of them back to back, by the way. I want Parkman. And then Parkman hit a grand slam off you. Like, what are you doing? You can't hit the two guys in front of Ellie De La Cruz. You can't do it. And then today, three walks, and two of those walks scored. And we could talk about the whether or not Endy should have thrown the ball home, but I don't care. You didn't score a run. The two runs had already scored. That third run meant absolutely nothing. Start scoring runs, and we don't have to worry about that. I don't know. Trying to find silver linings. I want to say this before we get too far and I forget, because we got a comment on last week's show. Guys, listen, we love the comments on the YouTube. I'm pretty sure you can do comments on Spotify too. If you're an audio listener and you use Spotify, you can do comments on there too. I need to get to that point where I'm checking that more often, but I need you guys to comment. But comments are great. We have the live show right now. These guys are awesome. Our live chat is incredible every week. Mm-hmm. Every week, you guys are awesome. But leave the comments, because it does help join the discussion, and we can actually jump in and look at this stuff. Anyway, the comment from Rev Metric says, outside of Holderman and Bednar, and he throws in the Harrington piggyback, I think maybe just because it was one thing. The bullpen has a 2.38 ERA in 41 and two-thirds innings. Six scoreless extra innings when the inning starts with a runner on second base. And so he gives some credit that they moved on from those two pretty early in the stage, but they did cost us three or four games in a way. You know what I mean? I think three, but still, they did cost us those games. And so, I mean, what would that look like, right? We would have been 500 coming into this had we won those games. But I also looked it up, and it's not all perfect. When you look at inherited runner scoring, which is, by the way, the job of a bullpen, right? Don't let those guys score. Mm-hmm. Colin Holderman, both inherited runners scored. Justin Lawrence, Dennis Santana, Joey Wentz, all of them are 50%. Wentz now has had six inherited runners, and three of them have scored after today. That's 50%. League average is 35. So Justin Lawrence, Dennis Santana, and Joey Wentz, they're not getting the job done. Their ERAs are going to look low. They look like they've got stuff that's good. I've been impressed with Wentz. His ERA is now under one. But when you talk about inherited runner scoring, they're also not getting the job done. Now, it would be a poor job of me to point out those three guys without saying Tim Mayza, one guy out of seven, has scored. Ryan Borucki has left all six inherited runners stranded on the bases. Caleb Ferguson, two. And he hasn't let any of them score yet. So there have been good spots for sure. And I've been saying this a lot. Like, I'm not totally sold on Dennis Santana yet. Let's be fair, right? Dennis Santana has inherited two runners. And one of them has scored. So it's not a lot, right?
Yeah.
So the verdict is still out, is all I'm saying. I'm not like, well, at least we got him. I'm not comfortable yet. But it is something like that. And then, you know, bullpen in general has been decent, but like, pitching is walking too many guys. That's errors. Majinski went into that game today. He walks the first batter in the fifth inning. Get him out. Get him out immediately. You know that, and I said this as much today when I was watching this game. Majinski has looked really good early on in every start he's had so far, or at least the ones that really stand out. It's like, wow. No, I think every start it's been solid one time through the order or the first three innings. Once he gets over 40 pitches. Now the second outing was really good, right? All the way through. It was really good. But when you look at what he's doing, Jake, he's just a relief pitcher. He's good early. And then he falls, but when Majinski falls apart, Jake, it happens fast.
Yeah. And bad.
Right.
Like, it falls all the way apart. Yeah, and I just, I'm over him trying to be a starter. Like, you're not a failed pitcher just because you're pitching in the bullpen, dude. You're like, you'd be elite out there. Like, he's got nasty stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Kyle Nicholas came up. I still don't understand why they didn't go Hunter Stratton. Kyle Nicholas is not throwing strikes in the minor leagues. The plate doesn't change when you get to the major leagues. He's not going to throw strikes in the major leagues. The hitters change, but the plate doesn't. If you're walking guys down there, you're walking guys up here. So,
yeah, and you're usually going to walk more when you come to the major leagues because those guys have they don't chase as much. As
also true,
league.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to decrease your walks by coming to the major league. You're going to walk more.
Yeah, and I don't know. And obviously, so, you know, Pitt City what says, Frazier playing left field, Valdez and Sawinski batting leadoff. What is Shelton doing? I'm gonna allow this, so like bear with me for a second. I'm gonna allow, like, I like Jack Sawinski, and I root for him. He's not getting it done this year. I'm not saying he is, but he is a guy that actually could fit the kind of new school leadoff hitter if he's going good. He sees a lot of pitches, he does take his walks, and he's gonna hit the ball hard, but that there's value there. Kyle Schwarber one year as a leadoff hitter hit 200, you know what I mean? Or 198. And he was still a productive leadoff hitter because he saw, like, a lot of pitches. He hit like 40 some home runs. Right. So like, but and I don't think Jack's all the way there. Right. But Schwarber, if you remember, took a long time to happen too.
Yeah.
Right. But the one thing I'll say, I would love to see, you put Jack Sawinski in the game when he's striking out like this, you just can't put him at leadoff. You're throwing him to the wolves, and it's also just not fair to him at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just another example of Shelton not putting his guys in the best situation to succeed.
Yep.
It's just mind-blowing. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I'm on board for team fire Derek Shelton now.
Mm.
Like, I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to. They're going to ride this out.
What do you think? Mutu puts in here, Jack has a 342 expected WOBA, and he has a 199. So, like, yeah, I mean, there's still, it's the, for Jack right now, it's the strikeouts, though. Like, when he hits the ball, he's doing okay. It's the strikeouts for Jack. He's also been maybe our best defensive outfielder this year. That's not, maybe not saying a lot. But he probably has been. I've always thought, like, center field's been struggle for him, but he's always been above average in the corners. But he's even played a pretty good center field this year. So that's good, but it just doesn't matter if you're striking out. Yeah, here's the number right here. 41.2% strikeout rate. That's just never. I don't care how good you're doing. That's never going to get it done.
Right.
But it's not necessarily about... I didn't want to go into Sawinski there. It's the point of, like, I Frazier playing left field. I don't get that in this situation. I don't get Valdez ever leading off.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest, they lost. They got swept Saturday. The way Hunter Green is pitching right now, that dude, until today, like, I've been watching him. He's awesome and he's a lot of fun. Yeah. Today is against your team. It's not as fun when it's against your team. But that dude is he's arrived last year and he's here to stay. He's very good. He's an ace.
Yeah.
And he's doing things now that we just haven't seen from him. And I think a lot of people questioned if it would ever happen. And it's not only happening, but it's on all cylinders right now. Today was easy for him.
Yeah.
It literally was easy for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're probably jumping around. There was one thing I wanted to say about Majinski before we move on, because I know that you made the point about, like, hey, we just need him in the bullpen. He's not a starter. We need to cut this out. Thomas Harrington, they just pitched out of the bullpen today for two innings. So, like, I don't know what they're doing with him.
Yeah,
you can't have a knee-jerk reaction to one start in the major leagues when he might not have actually been ready to do that in the first place.
He is your old school style starting pitcher. He will pick you apart. He's got a little more tweaking to do, maybe, you know, to get there. But that's the he's not going to just go and be super successful in a bullpen role. That's not the style of pitcher he is. I think he can be a solid 4 or 5 guy, maybe even better. The ceiling is, you know, pretty high, but I think he could easily be a solid 4 or 5 starter in a rotation.
Yeah, I think he could be a 3. I think it's Mitch Keller.
Yeah.
He's a guy who, if it's not all there, Jake, right? If it's not all there, he could get banged up for a game.
Yeah.
But if it's all there, he's going to be very good.
Yeah. And obviously not to this extreme. Please don't say I think he's Greg Maddux, but the style of pitcher he is, right? Like, think of like, he throws harder than him, but like a Hendricks, like Kyle Hendricks, when he first hit the ground running, he was good. He was able to pick you apart, locate, hit the corners, hit a spot to get you out. You know, he throws low to mid 90s.
No, I mean, he can hit 95 though. I mean, typically he's around 93, but he's not. Yeah. But 95 is not that mid 95 is hard. You're throwing hard.
Yeah. But today's baseball, that's the same as guys who threw 90 to 92 back in the day.
I think, no, well,
because you have a lot maybe, of guys throwing upper 90s.
That's effective pitching. That's not, not like he's a slow ball thrower. Hendricks. Hendricks is 88 in today's game. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's an extreme example of it. He's got better stuff than that.
Bro locates. He's going to hit his spots. He's going to get you out in more ways than blown heat by you.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
All right.
I preface that by saying, like, he throws harder than.
Yeah, I just think the stuff I think the stuff is better than that too. You know what I mean? I think there's some good pitches that are. I think he gets that moniker because we have so many guys that are hitting 100, and he's not.
Yeah,
but I think it's unfair. You know what I mean?
Maybe Zach Greinke might be a better.
Maybe Zach. I mean, this is better than Zach Duke, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's pretty safe to say Mitch Keller's already better than Zach Duke. And I'm not talking like pitching style, because, you know, Keller can ramp it up there every once in a while too. And he has in the past. But I'm just saying, like, results wise, like, every once in a while, Keller just has a bad day. And I think when you don't have 100, if you miss over the plate, you can get away with that if you throw 100. He's just not going to be able to get away with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he's certainly a good pitcher. I want to get to a couple of the comments here, because there are some points here. Matt brings up Gorski makes more sense than Pham or Canario, maybe even Jack. I think what you're seeing from Jack is probably Gorski at his best. With that said, the defense is really good, and I'd like to see him more than Tommy Pham, because that's actually better than what Tommy Pham's doing, which is popping out to infielders and then pouting all the way to the dugout. So, you know, that's obviously going to be better if you go Gorski. I wouldn't mind seeing it. At this point, I'll take anything but Tommy Pham. It's been absolutely a train wreck with him on this team. The morale in that clubhouse will not get better. He will make sure of that. And it's an absolute waste of time having this guy on your roster. And I think that it is no coincidence that this team gets started off to a stretch like this with Tommy Pham being what Tommy Pham is, which is not even really that good of a baseball player, and in the dugout trying to be a leader. If he's leading men in that clubhouse, then they're all going to be bad baseball players. Yeah. That's not a guy you bring in to be a leader. He's not had like a career that I don't know what we're doing bringing him in. And then what you see on the field is exactly what you knew you were going to see the whole time.
Yeah.
But this year, Rob, I don't know. Why hasn't Pham tried to fight? I can't figure it out. He's been mad enough. He's been bad enough. I don't know. Maybe he's maturing. It doesn't look like it. Miles, about the bullpen, says, can we really judge the bullpen stats based on this on manager usage? I'm not sure what to think with Derek's decisions. The thing is like, inherited runners that I was quoting are inherited runners. It doesn't matter. It does, like, how, when Derek Shelton puts you in doesn't matter. You get prepared and you have to leave a runner on base. You either do or you don't. That comes down to the pitcher.
Yeah.
You could say, like, why didn't he have an inherent runner at first instead of at third? Sure. That's what happened today. You know what I mean? You had a runner on third. He's likely to score. But he also gave up a base hit for that run to score. It's not like it was a sac fly. It's not like it was a ground out that was productive, but the run scored. And you say, well, that one was on the pitcher because he left that guy on third. Now, he gave up a hit, though. If there was a guy on second, he would have scored too. So, you know, there's a little bit there. But, and I'm not, I don't want to throw Joey Wentz under the bus here. I mean, inherited runners is a big deal and he hasn't done it. But also, he's been relatively good in his outings, except for that, except for inherited runners. You know what I mean? And he's the one with the biggest bulk of them. Like I said, Lawrence and Santana are at 50%, but it's been two inherited runners.
Yeah.
So they're one, you know, one for two scoring. So they could go on, wait till they get to six, see if it's just that one. And then we'll see, you know what I mean? But it is similar there, but in general, this team doesn't have a leadoff hitter. This team has one outfielder in Brian Reynolds, and he's not been good. And that's a big deal. Yeah, when the guy
outfield.
Sure. But either way, like, you know, we're just talking about roster, like bringing the guys in, I guess Cruz, right? That's unfair, but Cruz also hasn't been playing the outfield. No, yeah, I actually made a nice play, today, just running down a ball with just pure speed. But, like I said, All-Star break is when I'll make my determination on whether Cruz is going to make it. He's got to have a bulk of time. He's got to start seeing plays.
Sure.
He has to have time. I can't give up on him after 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Which is essentially what he's gotten right now. So they should have gotten help and they didn't. IKF had a fun first week. It's been tired since then.
Well, yeah, and that's let's pile that on the. I'm gonna just keep running with this Derek Shelton train here. Let's wait until our 9-hole hitter is struggling.
Yeah,
and then let's throw him in the leadoff spot. That's a good call. Good call, Derek. It's the words that just can't even come out of my mouth because I can't think of the words to say. That's how I feel about Derek Shelton's leadership and decision making. It's rough, man.
Michael from 412 brings up a point about Harrington, I believe. Maybe it was an outing to get him on Chandler's schedule, who's already on Majinski's schedule. Maybe Chandler's coming soon, and then Harrington takes Chandler's spot in their rotation, maybe. I see where you're going with that. I don't know.
Or is he talking about four innings?
What's that?
Because they're managing Chandler's innings by throwing him about four innings each start. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Either way, Jake and I were talking before here, and one of the things that you know we started off with, and I'm pretty sour about it, right?
I'm bummed out.
And Jake was like, the thing is like, this team doesn't have to be bad. And so like, I want to lean into that just for a second. They don't have to be like, Joey Bart didn't look terrible, right? Brian Reynolds could be better. Key Brian and Jack have been, I mean, Jack with the strikeouts still, but Key Brian, I mean, we saw the Mutu was putting some numbers up there, how they've been pretty unlucky. Mm-hmm. Nick Gonzalez injury, every injury, you know, counts towards that. Even, you know, whatever else you want to throw in there, had you gotten some better players, had you gotten another corner outfielder that could settle in the middle of the lineup, and then a shortstop who could throw the glove and maybe, you know, I mean, what's IKF hitting now? 260? I mean, he was 375 in the first, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's dropping. And so, like, could you get a shortstop who could be, you know, hitting more than that and slugging a little bit? doing some damage at the plate, sitting in the top of this order and those top five hitters, if you could have done that and just lengthened this lineup and had guys that shouldn't be at the top of the order hitting down below the top five, like IKF and Key Bryant at 8 and 9 were doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. If Jack's hitting 7 or Nick Gonzalez is hitting 6 and all of a sudden you've got a couple of guys up there. Well, IKF in this scenario wouldn't be in the lineup, but you know what I'm saying here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have got a couple guys in this lineup that could have helped. I mean, Hunter Green today with Cruz up to bat and first base open in the first inning, that was the clearest, like, I'm going to walk you, but I'm actually going to throw the pitches.
Yeah.
He's not going to pitch to O'Neill Cruz because he knows once I get past him, my chances are good.
Yeah.
There's nobody from 5 down that I'm worried about. And you're not worried about the leadoff hitter in Emmanuel Valdez today. He's had some decent hits at certain times, right? It's not terrible. But I don't know, man. You failed us in the offseason. And now you're reaping exactly what we all feared you were going to, and then worse. Because when guys, like we said, what if Nicky G doesn't work out? Well, he's hurt, so he's not working out.
Yeah.
Availability is an important ability, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, and I'm not blaming, you know what I'm saying, but that's just what it is. I'm calling it what it is. Joey Bart's now on the bench. And this is the other thing. You have a 10-day IL in baseball now for position players. You have a 10-day IL. Cruz was almost out for 7 days. You're just a man short.
Yeah.
You went into the weekend with him and Bart, like, after, you know, whatever. You're essentially 2 guys down, and that's why they made the move. When they did Henry, they sent a pitcher down because they were like, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
Got to see Henry start having better at bats. I mean, I know it's a whirlwind. You got called up, but you were also just in Louisville. Like, that's, I mean, just could take an Uber that far. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's that far away. Like, literally he's just come hours up there. Yeah, I mean, Friday night, he looked great. 2 doubles, looked great at the plate, looked real confident, feeling good. Not what we saw in these 2 games. I saw a really far foul ball, but like, pitchers like that. They don't care.
Yeah.
They know when you yank one foul and it goes 450 feet foul, they just shrug it. And they're like, that's exactly what I wanted you to do with that ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's got a lot to prove here. Hey, can you just tell me this? Like, just try it. Why don't you just put on batting gloves? What are we doing? Just put them on and see if it helps. I mean, everybody wears batting gloves except for you.
Yeah, try something different.
Just like, put on some batting gloves. Let's just give it a shot. There's a reason why everyone else uses them.
Yeah.
Apparently they work. I don't know what to tell you, man. I think you kind of got to earn that. You're not earning it.
Right.
Anyway, it's been 2 games for him. Let's not pile onto the wrong guy here. But this is just, it's, you could go any way you want. You know what I mean? You could go any way you want with this. The offense in every way is not good.
Yeah.
Our team leader in RBIs right now, Brian Reynolds and Adam Frazier with 6. Ellie De La Cruz walked up to the plate with 17 RBIs today. We have 6 for our top guy. I just, not too long ago on this show, I said, can I give you some sort of good news? The Pirates are actually hitting with runners in scoring position. They have the 4th lowest, like, runners in scoring position. They're never in scoring position. And right, by the way, that their average is down to like 18th now. Because that's what it is when you don't have anybody in scoring position. It's just a couple at bats, you don't get a hit, and all of a sudden, you're back down.
Yeah, I honestly, like, this is the worst for podcasting, because we're just at a loss for words at this point. Because I don't want to. I'm still a fan of this game, and I'm still a fan of this team.
Sure.
But I'm a super frustrated fan right now.
And I mean, the pulse of everything right now. I mean, we're all frustrated. There's not anybody watching this team saying, like, this is what I wanted. You know what I mean? This is what I was hoping for. So when I go to the game, there ain't nobody there. I can sit with my arms spread out. I mean, there is some value to that. There are some people who will appreciate that. But at the same time, it's not, this isn't what you had in mind.
Right.
It's, I wonder when you hear Shelton, I'm going to get into the quote here. So we have to figure out some things offensively. All right. That's profound. We have to figure out a way to create opportunities. Okay.
We know.
You know, it's a situation of offense. We got to get going. Okay. It's actually a thing. You get on base and then get in scoring position. That's opportunities. You're not doing that. I don't know. Like sometimes I think swing the bat when I watch them not swinging at a pitch right down the middle for strike two. Why put yourself behind? You should be, once you get a strike, that should be your most aggressive swing.
Yeah.
If you chase a little bit with one strike, I'm like, okay, I like the aggressiveness. Now let's shorten up a little bit and make sure we protect. But man, the interviews just get worse. And it's easy to pick apart, right? It's easy. We could sit here and pick apart the things that they say all the time. They're saying the same things. It is what it is. But you've got to come up with something else at some point. When it's this bad, there's a guy leading that team, and it's early, Jake. It is early. You shouldn't panic yet. It's time to get frustrated. You're 5-11, and the offense is terrible. So yeah. You've gone now too far into the season, which isn't very far, by the way. You can still come back from this. But you've gone too far into the season with the same results, and it's time to be frustrated, but it's not time to panic yet. It really isn't. Except right. for the fact that you've been doing this for 6 years. You know what yeah. I mean?
Yeah.
And for 6 years, you've been like, it's okay because we don't have that team yet. So let's trust the process. Let's take it slow. Losses are going to come. We have to find a way to get back on. But like, that's not what this team is supposed to be at this point.
Right.
It's not time to just take it in stride and move on. And I mean, like, baseball's always that way. Don't get me wrong. You always say, shake that off. We got a new game tomorrow. But it's the losses, right? That's the thing. That when they right. start
They're piling up.
Exactly. When they start piling up, that's when you have to start saying, winning games is what's important. And it's, I don't know. I'm just frustrated. Like, you know how to do it. It's not a secret. You have to score more runs than the other team.
Right.
And when they say, like, we got to figure out how to win, I'm like, golly, man. Like, what are we? It's not a magic potion. I think we're overthinking this a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not like a secret sauce that you got to figure out. Like, it's all there. Just do the thing.
Do your job.
And part of this is that the players that are there aren't good enough. But part of it is we have players who are good enough, Brian Reynolds, who aren't getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even Key Bryan, like yeah. I've liked what I've seen a little bit from Key Bryan until I look at the numbers and I'm like, and I know he's been unlucky, so that makes sense, right? But at the same yeah. time, it's like, how many guys can be unlucky at the same time till you start figuring out like, hey, I don't know if this is work. What I mean, like, I mean, Henry Davis, we, like I said, it's been two games, but like just rakes in AAA. What's the difference? What are we doing here? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we avoid that jump? That jump that's hard to make, but how do we avoid so many players not able to make that jump?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you think about that and you look around the league and you see some of these other guys like, how many like steps of progressions, like we'll keep it in, we'll keep it in division here. Like Pete Crow Armstrong, like just look at the growth he's made year after year. And he's a good player now. All the guys out in Arizona, I think Alex Thomas is going to have a huge season this year.
Mm-hmm.
And all these guys just taking steps forward and you're just looking around the ring. Jackson Churio made the jump. He's progressing each time out. Just all over the league, you see these guys making progressions, and then you look at the Pirates, and you're like, how are none of our guys making progression?
Right. Like offensively.
There's yes, yeah.
Yep.
There has to be an underlying issue. You can't tell me that for six straight years you're still confident in Derek Shelton and crew and company. Right. Like it's not cutting it.
Yep. I think the biggest thing is, Jake, and this is what we talked about in the offseason. This was kind of the point that we were making in the offseason was it was time for a change of scenery, a different vibe. You need that clubhouse. If you want to change things, if you want to say we're going to go from one culture to the next, then you have to change that room. You can't walk mm-hmm. into spring looking at the same thing. And you can say there's a couple right. new players. Unfortunately, Tommy Pham is one of them. But you have to change the look of that room. You have to change the personnel in it. You have to see someone new that you have to be just a little bit uncomfortable with and have to get to know them again. Or not again, but for the first time. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. you got to get a new voice in there, specifically the manager. But probably what we were saying was the whole room. You got to move on from everyone. And you got to walk yeah. in there, everybody with a clean slate, like your first day of school where you're trying to impress. And that way, yeah. everybody kind of plays with a little bit of an edge and you all have to learn how to come together. The problem is there's no learning how to come together with this team because they know everybody, everyone's comfortable with everybody, and there's no piece where you're maybe, I would have said, if you were in that locker last year, you're in that locker this, like change the whole room.
Change something.
Paint everything. A couple walls, get a new manager, a whole new coaching staff, change the room up.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you wipe the stink of a bunch of losses. The most, like, what was it? Through 5 years, nobody's lost as many games as him? Or 4 years, because COVID year, there's not a whole lot of games. But, sure. right? Wasn't it yeah. something like that? Like
something like that, yeah.
Holy cow. You just have to, Rob.
So bad.
Rob, I will disagree with this comment. The Cardinals are red. The Reds are red. The Cubs have red. We don't need red. There's too much even in our division. Look at every division. There's red everywhere. No red. Plus, I can't wear red. I've got orange face hair. Red looks terrible on me.
That is hilarious. So you don't want them to bring back the red
No,
vest?
No red. The red looked horrible.
I don't mind a touch of it.
Oh, you went to a high school that was the Red Knights, Jake.
But on the Pirates uniform, I did not like the red vest.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you didn't hate
the red vest. I didn't hate a little bit of red, like thrown in here and there.
Yeah.
Like I didn't hate the Pirates hats with the red brim. I didn't hate when they had a little bit of red on the lettering.
Yeah.
I like the red vest.
I don't like it. There's too much red already in the game.
And that's fair. That's fine. I'm not going to hate you for that.
Yeah. That's just, I don't care for red.
And I don't, but, I'm not going to advocate for them to bring it back either. But
yeah. Matt says Hawaiian shirt day is canceled until further notice. Not on this show. We will have Hawaiian shirt on
Friday.
Dave brings up a good point, and I think it's probably a good time to talk about this. He says he thinks change is coming because of Nutting making the statement that he's given them the tools. I don't, Miles, I like that. Sheet's giving them enough red now. Andy, the other day, I was at the game Saturday night. Andy was wearing a red sleeve. And I'm like, you could do stuff like that. You know, I've seen some of these guys that come up from AAA with some of the red gear and they throw it on. I'm okay with that. We don't have to make it official. But like O'Neal Cruz having red on his armbands and stuff like that. Like that's where we'll get our red. I think we can all like compromise there, right?
Sure.
We can compromise with like, you can have some red in your gear, but Pitt City, what? Go back to original red and blue colors. See, that's what I'm saying though. Like every team is red and blue everywhere you look. I just get so tired of seeing red and blue together in baseball. It's just everywhere. So that's why I like the Pirates. I think they have a great color scheme because of that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Rob does say like the 97 uniforms with the red outline. So Jake, you could get on board with that.
Yeah.
So the back to the to the Bob Nutting thing. He makes the comment saying, I think I've given them all the tools. I think I've done everything that I needed to do from my side to give them the opportunity to win, and it comes down to execution. To me, like, that's completely wild to think that you've done everything. That you've done everything that they need. And I'm not going to, like, so I don't want to pile. You know, we don't like to dive into all this stuff, but, like, I'm not going to pile on one and say, well, it's just, it's all on Nutting. These rest of these guys are innocent. Like, that's not true. Right. I think there's blame everywhere.
Right.
I think this is a total, I mean, especially with all the extra stuff that we talked about on Friday and everything, but like you come into this thing saying, okay, Sherrington, what has he done? Well, pitching, right? This is the best that we've ever seen pitching on this team.
Yeah.
As far as organizationally, as far as on the major league staff, what they're building right now, like we've never seen anything like this. So yes, kudos to Sherrington and his development crew. They're doing a great job with pitching.
Yeah.
But all we've talked about in the past 3, 4, 5 months is the fact that they failed the offseason miserably.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Sherrington? Is that maybe Nutting saying this is your budget, don't go above it? Because if so, like then it's kind of like, well, I mean, he did what he could. Although you could have probably got Verdugo for fan money, and that would have been better.
Yeah.
I mean, still not the answer, still not what I'm pining for, but it would have been better than this.
Yeah.
You could have figured out a way to trade for a shortstop, or I don't really know what was out there available, but you know, you made an aggressive trade to get a first baseman that you believed in, whether or not any of us believe in him. We've never seen him play.
But still waiting on that.
Still waiting. And that's, you know, possibly a problem too. We don't know the truth. I know a lot of people would like to say, well, we traded Luis and players for an injured player. We also know that this is supposed to be a new injury. So, I'm not even going down that path. It could be a new injury. It could be the same one. Either way, the guy's injured right now and he's not playing. So he's not racking up any war. You know, he's not helping this team get any wins.
Right.
And I mean, Luis Ortiz just had a great outing. It's his first great outing. Even dating back to spring training, the guy's been terrible since he went to Cleveland. So he had a great outing. I think we understand that's what it's going to look like a little bit for him. But maybe Cleveland will turn him into something. But I think trading, while it was high, it was good. I think maybe what came in is still to be determined, whether or not that was really worth the whole move. But either way, you talk about like all the things that he's done. There hasn't been a ton of things outside of pitching. There hasn't been a ton of things that have been great. You've had multiple guys fail to make the jump from AAA to major leagues. So far, there's still time for a lot of these guys. Yeah. I would even say Canario. I would even say this guy is not a bad guy to bring in. There's a ton of power there. There's a lot of swing and miss. But for an extra outfielder, just getting a start every once in a while and has the opportunity to hit a homer, like, I don't hate it, to be honest with you. There's a lot of things I don't like about the game. I finally saw him field a ground ball that went to the outfield after, I think, two or three that he missed. But and he made a nice sliding catch in the game today, so I think there was a little bit of something there. But either way, he's only 24 years old. So, like, I'm okay with that as a, you know, so long as he's not a starter.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that a little bit. I mean, it's better than having Bay on the roster, who doesn't really give you the same type of potential. But it's the thing of, like, there's failures there. There's probably failures related to the budget that he's been given. In the major league locker room, it's not getting better. The same things continue to happen over and over and over again. Jake, players are allowed to get better when they get to the majors. And that hasn't happened.
Don't say.
And I'm even talking about defensively. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just look at some of those things. Like, outside of Key Brian Hayes, there's just not a lot of good. And there's no, I don't know. Like, I don't want the old school, like, mean guy. It doesn't work in today's game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need a grumpy old man out there telling everybody what to do and not being reasonable. That doesn't work with today's players. It just doesn't. It's the opposite of work. But there has to be some sort of accountability and some sort of discipline. You just you have to teach discipline. You have to teach self-discipline. You have to, these things, when you have a young team, are just too important, and you just don't see it happening with this team. It's the same crap over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that bothers me more than anything. Change the room. Let me ask you this.
We're
closing in on time. Let me ask you this. What is your short leash saying? We didn't move on in the offseason, so I don't want to be like, well, I would have made the change in the offseason. Outside of that, what is your short leash and what is your long leash on Derek Shelton on this team? Are we there? Or is there like a, in the back of your head, if you were to give benefit of the doubt, what are you looking at?
I'm going to say, I mean, you got to look at the end of April and see where we're at.
End of
April. I'm giving him like, what is it? Another week, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're in the middle here.
So, I mean, if they're, what are we, 5-6 games under 500 right now? 5-11, 6 games under. I mean, if they get to 10 games under at the end of April, change has to happen.
Yeah. Keith says, I don't think they should let Sherrington oversee another draft and trade deadline. That's actually a great, that's a great point too. When you go into the next day, go ahead with your long leash though.
Long leash is probably All-Star game. I mean, if we're just basically eliminated from the playoffs, like completely just eliminated from the, like, there's no shot. This team is, there's just no shot whatsoever. Then at the trade deadline, I'm finding a new manager to finish out the year, even if it's Donnie Kelly. And then find your new manager in the offseason. Like, I get it, but.
And that's what it's always going to be, right? It's almost all, that's the thing, is how far do you want to go with an interim? And is it Don Kelly, right? I mean, because he's been in this room, Jake.
I know.
And so I'm not sure that
it's
the
not
room
really
changes
changing much.
So what do you, so do you give him an opportunity to turn something around with that said, or do you
make a
change
this
and try to change the room? I you don't change the room though. If you just give it to Kelly, do you try to point. Has anybody ever gotten hired in the middle of like that? You know what I mean?
Right. To a point,
that's a good question.
I don't think you change it. You don't think you change the room all that much. However, I do this when I'm thinking about employees at work too. Like I'm looking at resumes and stuff, and I'm like, okay, you're in this situation. You're in this situation. You're doing this because that's the way this company does it. Donnie Kelly, you're in this situation because that's how your boss, Derek Shelton, wants things ran. You're going to run it how he wants it ran. Doesn't mean that's how Donnie Kelly wants to run it.
Yeah.
So where I do see that there's not much of a change, but Donnie Kelly could flip that table and be like, all right, boys, this is how we're doing things now. This is now my room. This is not Derek's room anymore. So where I do think, yes, you're not changing the look of the room all that much.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a facelift. It could be instead of making an addition to your house, you're painting the room. Like,
right.
I don't know. There is a way for that to work. And I don't know that, I'm not sitting here saying, ooh, we should make Donnie Kelly our next manager moving forward, but
no.
I'll take anything over Derek Shelton.
Honestly,
right now.
Interim, yes, cannot be him. He's been here through this whole thing. It cannot be him in that room next year.
Right.
It absolutely cannot. And I know that there's a lot of people saying it has to be, right? Because he's a Pittsburgh guy and the whole deal, right? I get it. But he can't be. He's been here. You need to do a complete facelift. You know what I mean? And that's the problem with the whole thing. And I don't know that you bring that in the middle of the season. So you are going interim, but how long do you go? And I think there's more to it than that. There's more to it than the manager. Change the room. Like, it's time to move on. Tommy Pham's not getting it done. Adam Frazier's not getting it done. And I think when you start doing something like this, and you make it a real point to say, if you're not getting it done, we will move on.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's enough to say, like, man, I really got to start getting some things figured out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not OG, always about getting there. It's about staying there.
OG says, Joe Madden and Joe Girardi both got canned in the first week of June. Memorial Day is probably the inflection point. See, this is when I look at a comment that comes in and I say, that's a smart comment. And as soon as I consider it being smart, I don't think the Pirates are capable of this kind of logic. I know that you know I'm not calling you out here, but like saying that that there's a reason for that to be a good time means the Pirates won't go by that.
Right. Derek Shelton will be fired in 2028.
Vincent says, got to get Fams and Valdez's out of here. The only thing that I'll say about Valdez is he does have major league experience. And when you had an injury and Nick York was not available to show up, you had to do something. And they went with this guy. And I didn't think that that was necessarily a bad guy. You know what I mean? I think in that case, I think Nick York could be a long-term answer at some place. I think he can be a major leaguer. But if you bring him up early, you run the risk of ruining the guy. So that's the only reason that I'm okay with Valdez. You know what I mean? And the guy's got pop. Yeah. He can run into the ball a little bit. If he's just backing everybody up, I'm okay with it. He just can't be, he can't be your leadoff hitter.
Right.
In any scenario. Any
situation. Yeah.
But, you know, Gene Lamont got fired in Chicago early on, maybe 19 games into the season. I feel like that's where this team should probably be.
Yeah.
Memorial Day is probably too long for a guy who barely kept his job this offseason. He had to get out to another hot start, or he's got to figure out a way that by the end of April, what are they now, 6 games down?
Mm-hmm.
If he gets them within a couple games of 500 or so, right? Or you see like tangible signs of, oh, okay. Because like part of this is like if Brian Reynolds ain't hitting, and it's kind of like, well, the guys that I want to rely on. I mean, O'Neill Cruz right now, is this real? He's hitting 195. And Brian Reynolds is hitting 206.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rob says Miguel Perez could probably do it. Maybe. Again, I mean, he's been in AAA, right? So this is his first year at the major leagues.
What's Rafi Devers hitting now?
That's a good call out there. Remember, 0 for what, 18 to start the season?
I think it was 0 for 20-something.
0 for 20-something? Jake, he's hitting 234 with a 350 on base and an OPS just below what Cruz is doing. He still only hit one homer, but he's got 9 RBIs. Now, part of that is that he's had more guys on base. But
the RBIs, yeah.
RBIs.
But this is what I'm saying, though, like, he was in a bad spot.
Right.
Now, I can't say this for fact, right? But I'm assuming coaches have something to do with breaking him out of that. Figuring something out to just click in his head to get him back on track. That's what the coaches are there for in Major League Baseball.
And I'll give this pass, right? Brian Reynolds is dealing with something in his shoulder.
Yeah.
Maybe an IL would have been a better move. But I know that...
Who else is going to play?
I mean, Matt Gorski.
Yeah.
Throw Matt Gorski to the Wolves, at least, so we can say we saw it.
Yeah, that's fair.
If it clicks, it clicks. And then when Reynolds gets back, you move on from Fam. What do you got to lose at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, Jake, Reynolds is hitting 206. It's not like he's been like, well, but he still hits.
Right. So now our DH is batting 206.
Right. Every once in a while you feel like, oh yeah, but he's still like, but 206, he's got a 640 OPS, Jake. I mean, that's not good. So, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. 178 for Endy, and I've seen signs of things I like from him, 178. I was actually really surprised to see O'Neill at 195. Chang's here for defense. He's not going to hit, and he hasn't hit. Davis has only played two games. Frazier's hitting 159. Tommy Pham, who's been at the top of our order all year, is hitting 128. There's just so much of it. Key Bryan hitting 212. I mean, his team's hitting 190 as a team. They're on base is better than three teams. Barely better than two of those three. But then their slugging is the worst. It's quite literally, regardless of what anybody says out here, there is talent on this team, Jake. They didn't supplement that talent with anybody that's worth it. They made those positions worse.
Yeah.
If you could have brought in two players that are impact players, top of the order guys, maybe this looks a little different. But also, there is talent on this team. And what you're watching right now, I think this is me attempting to be positive, by the way, just to set the room here. I think this is worst case scenario right here.
Everything that's happening?
I think right now, what this team looks like, offensively, specifically talking, I think this is worst case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. There were two guys in the offseason signed deals that were affordable that would have made our team much better, and that was Santander and Kim?
Sure.
Hassan Kim. Like, those two contracts were affordable and could have made this team.
Isn't Kim hurt, though? So, I mean, he wouldn't be playing right now anyway.
It's fair, but we wouldn't be counting on IKF. We would know that there's an end to that. I think that's what I don't know, man. The shortstop might have been a little trickier, but.
Right. Maybe a trade, something like that. But either way, let's just go to what you said. Santander right now, and this is the thing that makes it hard, Jake. Santander is hitting 190 with a 282 on base. He's hit one home run so far, and he has three RBIs in Toronto. So this is what makes it hard, right? And there's a lot of money spent there. And then you could go and look at Tyler O'Neill, who I think was the first guy that was like, this guy would be a good fit. He's good defensively. And he's in Baltimore right now, who's struggling, who's at the bottom of the league with runners in scoring position as well. But in 13 games, he's hitting 285 with a 365 on base. He's hit a couple homers. He has eight RBIs, which we talked about. They're struggling to get guys on base too.
Right.
But this guy changes the look of things too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dave wanted to send a correction here. Lamont was fired after 31 games in Toronto.
Chicago. It says Chicago.
It says Chicago. I said Toronto. That was wrong. Thank you for correcting me. I said something wrong in the correction that was sent in. That's where we're at right now. I think the Pirates are starting to rub off on us because we're watching it too much. Guys, if you're here, the comment, I hate this team from Vincent, like take a step back. This game is supposed to be enjoyable. If you can't enjoy it, either watch another team, take a break, wait till they figure some things out. If you enjoy watching a game, enjoy watching the game. I still enjoy watching the game. It is frustrating, but like ultimately when the game's over, it's kind of a deep breath, exhale. I got things to do. But I also like to analyze this thing. So like doing this, even though I'm complaining the whole time, like this is a hobby that I still enjoy. It's maybe being a Pirate fan forever makes us kind of sick in the head that way. But, it's Matt, I'm not sure what you're saying here. Grichik is 253 RBIs. So that's the other guy. I was never on Grichik all that much. He was a platoon guy for me. If I was getting Grichik, I was getting Sawinski. So that other side of that was not working. Or Verdugo, you know what I mean? Which, Verdugo's was signed so late, I don't even think he's doing anything yet.
I think he's still on AAA.
Which, why not? I mean, you've had suspensions and injuries over there, and you may as well change some things over there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's only played seven games so far, and he's having trouble getting going. He does have two home runs, but He's only at 182. He's essentially in spring training mode right now.
Yeah.
But OG, I'm taking a break from watching games, but not complaining about them on the internet. Perfect. That's great. Oh, it's good. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, sometimes you have to do it. Sometimes you have to take a step back. I think there's a chance this team can figure some things out. I saw skids like this in this season. I did not want them to happen right out of the gate. This was happening in July. You know what I mean? I think this changes the look about a lot of things. Hey, need to bounce back. It would be the way to go. But the fact that it's happening early, and like I've said before, it's the same old things. That's what's had us, you know, frustrated. And it's quite literally, it's the fact that you changed nothing and then you brought in nothing. It's time.
Yeah.
Cheryl says, what's the over under for Shelton to be fired? Let's set it at, I want everybody in the chat participating here. Let's set the over under. Well, Jake, you said end of April. Let's set the over under May 1. Wait, let me look at the actual dates here. Just to be, May 1's a Thursday, so let's do May 4th, which is a Sunday. Let's give him that first weekend of May. Over under, it's not going to be, let's make it a little tricky. I'm sorry. Let's make it a little tricky. Let's go mid-May. Let's go May 12th. So Pitt City, what says June 1? That's an over. I guess we could have went Memorial Day too, right? Vincent thinks tomorrow. I think he wants tomorrow. This must be an inside thing for you, Jake. Jake and Vincent knows the Kovach drywall softball team. We had more offensive potential than this team. Over May 12th, OG says. Rob says over. Cheryl says over. Billy says over. So we're giving him longer. So we're giving him Memorial Day, it seems like. Or at least the team is, right? This is what we think The team is giving them, Memorial Day. Or maybe some think no. I mean, you know, Pitt City, what basically said.
Until the end of May.
Right. It's last Monday of May.
Yeah.
Miles says Bob is feeling some pressure from what he said the other day, not just Shelton. So Billy says nutting is always late on these things. Oh, okay. Pitt City, what? The line should be June 1. I'm saying mid-May firing, so he would have said under at that point. There you go. Giga Mosher says under. If they start, Dave White says, if they start playing better, nutting will fire them before that. So you're saying, okay, I get that, right? If they start playing better, it's because nutting made a move.
No, I think he's saying if they start playing better, nutting will fire them because they're playing better.
Oh, okay. Either way, I can see that being true. I don't think so. Listen, here's the one thing, and this is just a level set. We got to get out of here, but the only thing I believe nutting when he says is that I think he actually does want to win. And maybe that's even worse. But I think that's the only thing that he actually means that when he says it. But, and maybe it is. Maybe he's just so clueless that he thinks that what he's given them is enough.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Easy money. Pitt City what? Says he put a bet on a Reds winning today. I mean, I was at the game Saturday, and I was there with a friend of mine who's a Reds fan. And I told Jeff, I was like, this sweep's already done. Hunter Green's awesome right now. I mean, he's awesome. No, I don't want to say he is hot right now, but like even then, he's here. This is a legit ace. I believe in exactly what he's doing. And like I said, when he's not pitching against the Pirates, it's a ton of fun to watch him. He's really come all the way around. Bucko Mike says the next GM is in the organization. Kind of hope not. That's the problem right now, right? It needs to be. And that's the thing I'm a little bit afraid of too. Is it a full reset? You know what I mean? And maybe that's something that we'll talk about later, but we do need to get out of here. I'm getting on a plane. I say tonight. I don't really know what time the plane leaves, but we basically leave at like, I don't know, 1 or 2 in the morning, depending on what they've decided. So, I mean, because like, yeah, you can't, like, the security doesn't open until a certain time. So you're going to get there early just to wait in line. But
yeah,
it depends on how early we think we need to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Vincent says Tony Plush next manager. And it can't even be Nigel Morgan. Like, he has to be Tony Plush. So
I've already told you who I would love to see. I won't say that on here, I guess.
I don't remember. So yeah, but if you don't want to say it, by all means.
I mean, I don't care, people. I mean, I think you bring in Albert Pujols.
As a GM?
No, manager.
Oh.
I was following up to Tony Plush.
Oh, yeah, Tony Plush next manager. I'm sorry. I was still on the GM train here. Next manager. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, 1.5 hours. So, yeah, it's international. We're going to Dominican Republic. I know there's some more things you got to do there. So, I don't know. So, the weekly shows this week will be from the Dominican Republic. I'm going to figure it out.
Just don't tell him he's lucky, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, let's play some music and get out of here.
This is fine. Dang it, Bobby.
Dang it, Derek.
Remember, guys, shows all week. Monday through Friday now. This is Monday's show. 4 more shows this week. Please tune in, subscribe, do all that good stuff. And let's see if the Pirates can somehow come up with the secret sauce and figure out the age-old secret of winning baseball games. Let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.